heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
There are going to definitely be some surprises. We used to call it the October surprise in baseball as well. Remember Reggie Jackson, you know. But it is there in election cycles. There definitely are some October surprises as well. We expect that will happen here in this election. And I think you can imagine who knows what it is, but expect that the stakes could not be higher. Now, when we talk about a general election and the presidential election, that's fine. But let's not forget that we have the congressional candidates, the congressional elections and the local elections, which are key to transition and back to greatness. And that really is the topic here that we'll be doing really for the next many months on this series we call Transition to Greatness, Election 2020. And we're happy to be with you here today. And we'll bring on a congressional candidate in just a moment here. Want to make the spotlight today, friends, about California. And so don't turn the dial off. California's important still. Listen, we don't really know what's going to happen down the road. Now, maybe, you know, you might think we can't impact 2020. We'll see. But there are future elections as well that I think you agree that are worth fighting for. So you can't really give up no matter what. Now, a lot of people, when they think of California, they think that it's too far gone as far as, and when I say gone, let's qualify that it's too far to the left. We see the immigration policies, we see the taxes and the quality of living. And, you know, I have a lot of friends, a lot of people in California, but it has definitely changed over the past 20 years what's happening in California. A lot of people get, you know, they think California can't be saved, that it is too far gone. And with, you know, again, socialist, leftist sort of policies, it wasn't always that way in California, by the way. But number one, it's our biggest state in America, but it's also fifth largest economy, having surpassed the United Kingdom in 2018 in the world. You know, we're talking a $3 trillion-plus economy, and that is plus, plus, plus. Now, it also has had setbacks and challenges, as the rest of the country has had for sure, and probably some would argue more challenges than other places here. You know, the Public Policy Institute of California lays out a pretty interesting map and scenario of where the electorate is and what's happening in California. And what's fascinating is, most of you probably know, the interior part of the state is mostly red, it is mostly leans more toward the conservative politics, Republicans, if you will. But on the coast, entirely, exclusively almost, it is blue, and in some cases very dark blue. And so that would lean heavy to the left and Democrat. And of course, that's where the people are, near the water. They're on the coast. So that's, and hence where, you know, and you know, what's interesting is they show that map where you see the blue and the red, and it looks like the red has a pretty good fix. But the problem is they're in very rural areas. There's just not as many people there as there are in the urban markets. In fact, they have another map they show where they distort the map. And the state is more Democrat when distorted to reflect the number of eligible residents. So those people who are able to vote, in other words. And it takes on a whole different look, people, when you look at the transition of that map from the Public Policy Institute of California that I mentioned to you. So it's interesting to start there and understand the demographics and the geographics there in California. You've heard from time to time about the fact about splitting California up. Now, when you look at these maps, and there's been a lot of studies and a lot of stories, and there are a lot of groups in play. There are all kinds of movements, people, for this. I mean, some are split it into two, and some want to split it into five. It's a massive state geographically and demographically, but you know, that's a campaign that is ongoing. We'll find out more about that today and see what is that just, you know, just cooler talk. And is there any real possibility of that? I hear a lot of opinions, and I don't really know whether that could ever happen out there or not. But what's happening is this. Conservative voices are being drowned out. And there are multiple reasons why, but they're not being heard in the way that you would think that they would be, because there are indeed a lot of conservative and really independent voices in California. In fact, there's been an exodus in the last many years of people leaving the state and moving to other states. And Nevada and Texas pick up a lot of Californians. And it's really residents, a lot of them were born there and lived there for many, many, many years. They've become very discouraged, very unsatisfied with the leadership in California. Let me read you this here from the Public Policy Institute of California here. As California leans more Democrat in general, conservative Democrats are becoming rarer, even in the places where they used to be common. Meanwhile, independents, also known as no party preference voters, are leaning slightly more Republican in many parts of the state. Now, that's a glimmer of hope, perhaps, right there, if you're a conservative, that is. I mean, you know, and it really does get into the quality of life. And I want to talk about that today. What are some of the issues in California? Because, again, that permeates throughout the rest of the country, without a doubt. But then what I really wonder is, why do they keep electing the same people to office? And that really is, you know, that's the telltale sign here and the question of all of this, which you just can't put your mind around and understand. I think it's something I think about all the time. Like, if they're really unhappy with the quality of life, if they're really unhappy with the cost of housing, right? If they're really unhappy with the cost of energy and food and all of the things that build a quality of life, because if you don't have that balance, people, then you build more homelessness, which is another problem California is wrestling with in a big way, right? And that's what you, that, then you have this real, you know, you have this unbalancedness in the state. I mean, and California, that's where I think they're struggling right now. And I think people are seeing this and many of them are getting fed up. But let me say, there's a hard group of Californians that are more from the Reagan days, possibly, but more conservative or independent minded, who still will not give up on California. They believe that they can change the current trajectory of where it is. It's a tall order, no matter how you look at it, you know. One of the other things the Public Policy Institute says is the support for the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is lukewarm in most places. Now, these are some of the main issues they throw out there to say this is what California's. And healthcare is a major cost. I mean, it's huge for everybody, everywhere in the country. It's expensive to get sick today. It's expensive to be healthy as well. If you've got the insurance, health insurance is something that our politicians and leaders are not really doing what they need to be doing to help people out. They just keep playing back and forth, which is the sad thing about politics, people. They're supposed to serve we the people, right? But do they really do that? I don't think so. In fact, Hillary Clinton won 62% of the presidential vote in 2016. That's a healthy majority, people, you know. And right now, no Republican has been elected statewide since 2006. Now, that's unbelievable. I mean, that kind of tells you a lot. I knew it had been a while, but that's a long while now, isn't it? So that shows you that trajectory where California has been headed. But there are a lot of questions now that we need to be asking, you know, why has it taken that turn? And why do Californians see something different than other areas of the country? And why are they willing to put up with that? And are they willing to pay? And why do they keep electing the same cast of characters to lead the state? Because if you do that, you would think that that is a validation that they're happy with the way they're governing. But it doesn't hold true. It doesn't come out that way, people. If they're not happy, then why keep putting the same people in office? And if they are happy with this, with all of the funny business that's going on out there with the cost of living and the illegal immigration and the homelessness and some of the cities that are far stretched from what they used to be in the day, you just wonder where the party is at that point and what the future stands for, you know? So as we now get ready for this election in 2020, we're going to be taking on here on The Voice of a Nation and bringing in candidates to talk about some of the issues around the nation in a lot of different states and a lot of different areas. And California is one of those states that we certainly want to highlight as well. Running in the California District 41, running for Congress, you'll meet today a young woman who has her hopes up to flip that seat. Aja Smith will join us. And she's excited about it. She's working hard to make it happen. Of course, you have to have, a good ground game, and you have to have the money. It's expensive to run for political office today, too. That's another thing. You know, you've got to have the support mechanism behind you, or you can't get the word out. And then, of course, on the flip side, there is grassroots. Getting people excited about the campaign and what you stand for is also very important. And I think if you balance all of that off with being authentic, and if we can get candidates and people who love America, who love California in this particular case, right? And they're authentic and they really speak to the issues. And that's where we need to elevate the playing field here, is to have candidates in who execute what they say. They do what they say they're going to do. And I think that would be a big start and a big help to cleaning out some of the political riffraff that is all over the place in a lot of these local markets. So let's take a quick pause. We'll be back with Aja Smith here, California District 41, running for Congress, and talk a little bit more about California and transition to greatness, the election in 2020.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So let me bring on here now, young woman I'm happy to meet here for the first time, as you do as well. And it's Aja Smith. She is representing, she hopes to represent California District 41. Now, California District 41, Aja, is running, I believe, east of LA. It's quite a bit over. It's over near Palm, isn't it, near Palm Springs area and all of that?
Yes, we're in the middle of, we're in between. We're called the Inland Empire. So we're in between San Diego, Palm Springs, and Victorville. So when you're headed towards Palm Springs, you're passing through my district.
Yeah, that's it. And that's a beautiful area. I got friends in Palm Springs. I love that area. The mountains there.
It's beautiful.
And just beautiful weather and just everything. All right. So it's a good sized district then. And you're running against the Democrat there is Mark Takano. Is that correct?
Correct. This is my second time running.
Okay, right. That's right. Yeah. So you ran last election cycle?
Yes, I did. And it was a good field for name recognition to see how well I can do. Mm-hmm. And so decided to run again. And this time we had three people in the primary, which I beat out the other Democrat opponent. So I made top two.
Okay, very good. Very good. I want to come back to all of that that you say there and talk about that previous race as well, so we can really look at the odds and what chance we have to flip the seat here. Let's talk first about California as a whole, Aja, and discuss more of what's happening there. Now, you were born and raised there in California, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so you know the market. You've been there. What's the, you know, when I talk about someone like you and you want to run for political office and you're in such a really deep blue state, What is the driving mechanism in forcing you that makes you stand up among many others and say, you know what, I need to do something different here. I need to run for elected office. What's the driving force?
Well, the driving force is the quality of life. I was born here in California, born in Los Angeles. My parents divorced when I was little. I was a little baby, so I grew up with me, my mother, my grandmother. And fortunately, my grandmother just passed away last year. She had terminal cancer. And the driving force with my family is to fight for what is right and stand for what is right. My mother was a Reagan Democrat. She was a Blue Dog Democrat. So growing up and listening to how much she supported Reagan and President Nixon as well, and with job creation. And I remember when the aerospace was here, and a lot of people, especially minorities, we had a great flourishing economy. We had good cost of living. We can afford a house. But soon when the Democrats, or I call them the progressives, started taking over, that's when we started to see a downward spiral where companies started leaving the state. You have a lot more crime. We have the highest homeless population in the United States. We have the lowest test scores in the United States. And like you said in your opening, we are the fifth largest economy in the world, but excuse my language, but we don't really have a pot to piss in. Mm-hmm. So when I see these things going on, I said, there's something wrong here. It's the progressive policies, not so much as that, you know, the old, I call it the old school Democrats, the Blue Dog Democrats, the moderate Democrats. They see there's an issue with their party. And if you've been watching the news, especially Fox News, Leo Terrell, who's a Democrat, who's shifting, saying there's something wrong with my party, where the progressives, the hardcore left, are taking over with the socialism and then eventually communism. We need to come together as moderates, as conservatives, say something is not correct and we need to make a change.
Well, let's talk about what you just say right there. But first of all, I have to tell you, you are a well-spoken young lady. You speak very well.
Oh, thank you.
And I haven't heard you before, so I'm excited to hear you discuss the issues and talk about what you're talking about. That's important. It's important to have that representation. Let me ask you, you use the word, and this is an interesting philosophical point here. You use the word progressives, and then and a little bit later, you use the word socialism and then communism. So now, myself is a commentator and as a national host and a voice that is heard around the world on these issues. So we cover a lot of these topics here and a great deal of national and international politics for sure. I have to tell you, I don't refer to what the left is doing as progressive. I think the word is very misleading, in my opinion. I'd like to get your opinion on this. But in fact, a couple of things I do routinely here, Asha. Let me explain to you what. Maybe some of this will rub off on you. I don't know. Maybe you'll use some of this. I hope. But let's see. Let me explain. I don't call them the Democratic Party, first of all, versus the Republican Party. I don't refer to them as that. I don't think there's anything democratic about them. I call them the Democrat. I've removed the IC, and I never refer to them as the Democratic Party. I don't think it's accurate. I think I refer to them as the Democrat Party. But then I also refer to them as the Socialist Democrat Party routinely. I don't ever use the word, I hardly ever use the word Democrat without the word socialist there, because that is truly who they are. The party has been taken over and gone crazy to the extreme far left, which you just mentioned a moment ago, and I agree with you, the word communism. And that really is what socialism is. Socialism is just a funny, funny word that they've got kind of into the national vernacular, this new brand of congressional candidates that came in with the squad and AOC and all that hijacked our Constitution. I could get into that whole story and taking the oath on the Quran versus the Bible, but that's another story for another day, isn't it now? But the point is, you have this all happening within so I refer to them socialist Democrat Party, which really is AKA communism. And if you look at the policies, Asha, and you look at where we're at as a nation here, it's scary to most Americans. And, you know, they say what happens in California, you know, that it it penetrates the rest of the nation. Well, that should scare the hell out of a good part of America if that's the case, because the policies in California right now are so far to the left, they are indeed socialists. So what do you think about the Socialist Democrat Party versus the Democratic Party and what I'm speaking about? Because words do matter and people pick up on this. And I think the word progressive gives them too much credit, because there's nothing they're doing that I find progressive for the human race. Talk to me.
You are absolutely correct. And so now I have a feel on how we both have the same thing in common when it comes to words. And thank you for bringing it up. I have been telling this to a lot of the younger people that I meet in my community when they say, well, I'm a progressive or I'm liberal. I tell them, no, you're not. Because if you really want to look at words, classical liberalism, you'll start getting to Milton Friedman with free markets and to have the freedom of speeches. And progressive, actually, you hit the nail on the head. Progressive actually came as the term of progress. But what the far left or the socialists did, they hijack words and to disguise them. I don't know if you're familiar with Ayn Rand, but I've been
love
a follower
her.
Of hers.
Love,
and so
love
I
it.
Love Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, she's talked about communism, socialism, collectivism, and individualism.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of her quotes says, there is no difference between communism and socialism, except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, or socialism by vote. It is merely the difference between murder and suicide. So when you start looking at philosophers like Ayn Rand, Milton Friedman, Hayek, and a lot of other scholars who pointed out these issues that saw and they foresaw what was coming here, and they warned us. And a lot of people, and I have to say this too, even on the right, the Republican Party, they ignored these warning signs. Well, I'll take 9/11 for an example. It was the most devastating day of what I've witnessed in my life, because I never seen a terrorist attack on American soil, because growing up, we were taught that it would never happen. And Pearl Harbor was the closest. So it happened, but we were pre-warned, and the government was pre-warned that this was going to happen. But we were so into, oh, we will never be attacked within. But it happened. Same thing what we're seeing right now with the socialists and the communists. I actually even call Antifa the Bolsheviks. And so they're the brown shirts, and they're mimicking things that we learned, or I learned in school, but a lot of them didn't learn in school because of the educational system has really hijacked the way we used to think, and they're, how can I say it? They are brainwashing a lot of these young people, like what we see in Seattle in the zone of Chaz or Chop or whatever it's called. And they think that they're the real anti-fascist.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't learn about Mussolini and Stalin and Lenin. I mean, yes, we all learn about Hitler, but they don't learn about Mao and Pol Pot. So what I do blame both sides of the party. When it comes to Democrats, I do have friends who are Democrats, and they can't believe what's going on with their party. And a lot of them said, we're going to support you, even though they said, well, we don't like the president, but we like you. And I said, that's fine. I said, that's perfectly fine. But words do matter, and meaning does matter. And that's where we're in this big cultural shift on how these terms are being hijacked away from their original meaning.
Hmm. Aja, I have to tell you, you are no empty suit.
Oh, thank you.
You know your business. Very impressive. I hope people in that district get to hear you in the passion of how you just spoke, because when you bring that sort of common sense to the conversation, I think your chance of winning anywhere is accelerated, truthfully, because you just said so much that is so accurate. And you're 100% right. And Listeners know where Malcolm comes from and the fact that, yeah, no, the Republicans are as guilty as the Democrats in so many ways and so many things. I mean, we're really supporting more of a constitutionalist America. We're supporting more of a conservative America. We're a patriotic America. That's the attraction to why the movement is so excited about a Donald Trump, Asha, because he's a different character for the establishment, and he gets in there and really unsettles it all. And that's why we, the people, really support the administration, and the establishment cannot understand it. They are totally lost in the weeds on all of this. They still haven't figured out why, and they don't even know that they're the problem, which is really remarkable here. You know, really, as we talk about many of the other issues, there's so much I want to get your opinion on and talk to you about it. Let's talk about a few different things that are really, really important. So one of the big issues that I have a hard time understanding, that most people have a hard time understanding, is this phrase that's called sanctuary cities, sanctuary communities, and then sanctuary states in the case of California. And that is now documented that they are indeed a sanctuary state. Now, immigration, legal immigration, illegal immigration is probably one of the top tier issues, I would imagine, in California. And when you look at the state and you look at the populace and the quality of life, I mean, everybody, whether you're left, right, independent, wherever you, I mean, quality of life has got to be important to everyone. Where I think the confusion is in California is, why are the voters, where's that fine line, Asha, when it comes to immigration? Why are they so supportive of illegal immigration practices and policies? Why are they so considerate for open borders? Why are they so considerate for sanctuary cities when all of these things take away from the quality of life for citizens who have to elect these people to office? You would think that one policy there, Asha, would be a game changer. You would think if you fall on the right side of that policy, you'd win every damn election in the state and you'd flip that state in a hot second from blue to red. You would think, at least I would think, as you and our families, and just by basic of quality of life, how big is that issue in California? What's the sense on the ground there? How do people really feel about it? And why don't more voters see what we're talking about, Asha?
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's the bottom line is for votes. It's all it is. They don't care about the well-being of the I'm going to call them illegal immigrants. And I know people say, well, that's not politically correct. No, they're illegal. And they don't care about how they came over here. If you cared so much about human rights and child sex trafficking, well, you're promoting it by allowing it to come here in this country. You're allowing the young girl to probably get raped and molested on her way to America by a coyote or a man who just grabbed her and uses her as a mule for drugs. Mm. So when I hear that, I say, you don't care about the life of these young kids and women who are coming over here in harsh terrain. If you really cared about immigrants, you would have them come here and apply legally. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to, because I am a big pro-life person, not only pro-life with I'm very anti-abortion, but also pro-life when it comes to children's safety and life out of the womb as well. So I'm a little bit different than my most Republican friends, probably. The bottom line is the votes. They just want the votes. They will bring illegal immigrants here, dump them into the streets and the slums in areas. A lot of them do end up homeless, but as long as they are registered to vote, because it is legal, get them a driver's license, they are automatically into the voter registration system. And that's why it seems that we have more Democrat registrants, because we have motor voter. And that's where it started. And I know people say, well, your district is a D+12 or D+6. And I said, the reason why it looks like that, because of motor voters, as soon as you go to the DMV and get a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote, and you're registered as a Democrat. And now,
why is that? Why are you registered as a Democrat? Why?
That is the default that the powers to be registers you as a Democrat.
You've got to be kidding me. You have to be. You're telling me. So if I go in as a 16-year-old, let me get this straight. If I go in as a 16-year-old, that I'm automatically registered as a Democrat, no matter if I, whatever?
Unless you say I want to change to Republican, Libertarian, or Independent, then you can change it. But a lot of people, and a lot of especially illegal immigrants, and a lot of people say, well, I'll change it later. They could mark it right there and register you as a Democrat. You're absolutely correct.
That is unbelievable. That has got to be so wrong on so many levels. I mean, they are pushing an agenda and a narrative that is so wrong. And are you
correct.
Saying now, back to being able to vote, but yet a 16-year-old can't vote, right?
No, they can't vote, but guess what? We have a new thing that's legal now called ballot harvesting.
Exactly.
So a 16-year-old cannot vote, but the little tricky part, you have those groups and those entities, the labor unions, you have those different organizations. The problem here in California, and I tell people, it's not that we're a lost cause. We just need help to clean up the voter rolls as a start. And I'm going to a meeting tomorrow again talking about this Election Integrity Project, if anybody wants to Google them. And they talk about the mail-in ballots, where they're really pushing for only mail-in for the 2020 election, which can help me in a way, but we have to see. You can go, anybody, to your local registrar of voters and pay, I think it's about $30 or $40 for a desk to see who's voted the last elections, to see how many times they voted, where they vote, because nothing is scrubbed off the voter rolls. And people have moved, people have passed away. And that is one of the biggest battles we're facing here in California, is scrubbing the voter rolls, mm-hmm. where they are not complying to it, trying to take it up with the state is good luck. It's like going straight to the fox posting guard at the hen house. Then they're not going to do it. So it's pretty much going to court and making them clean up the voter rolls. And anybody can go get an absentee ballot for somebody else. You can say, oh, yeah, I'm here to pick up their ballot. And that's the issue here in California. That is one of the biggest reasons why we lost in 2018, and especially in Orange County, which was Reagan country. It was always a solid red for so long. Young Kim, she won, went to D.C. for orientation, and they sent her back home because we count votes a month later here in California.
Wow, that is just unbelievable. There's so much you say there that is so important for listeners to grab onto. I love the way Aja puts it there, people, and says that, listen, it's not that we're not a lost cause, as some of you would say or think, or, you know, there's a lot of funny one-liners about California, I think is what Aja is kind of referring to there. It's not that that's the case. It's just that we need help to clean up the system. It really has become such a corrupt system, people. And that transcends way beyond California. That's throughout the entire nation. And that's why there's so much when she talks about ballot harvesting and this whole mail-in ballot where they just mail a ballot to everybody of existence, whether you're alive or dead. People, the problem is we've seen the stories. We've all seen what's happening here is those ballots are all over the place. They're in trash cans, they're littered in places, and we know how many people can just pick those up and sign off and send it in, and then there's a vote illegally here. I hear a lot of people in my ear talking to me about, and you know, it's initially I wasn't sure how severe the problem was a few years back when it came to this illegal voting business, but what's happening now is the Socialist Democrats are making a career out of it. And I think that's what Aja is referring to. It's kind of hard to win anything when the deck is stacked against you. And why is it they're doing what she just explained, how they're you're going to get a driver's license as a young person or as an immigrant or as just a young anybody, and you're automatically considered a D. And do you know how many people don't pay attention to politics and don't even pay attention to any of that? a lot. The vast majority of people don't pay attention. Well, sure, you can change it later if you really even care to, but a lot of people get on with their lives and they're not really paying attention to play the partisan politics that the leaders are. Well, that means the entire system is corrupt. It means where we are if we don't. And you know, what really irritates me is we spend all these years talking about, you know, the Russians interfering with our election. It's an absolute joke. And, you know, like everything else, people, the people who are crying that fire in the theater are exactly the people who lit the fire. Isn't that always the case? I mean, these are the people that have been talking about that election integrity, and they are the ones who lit the fire. They're the ones who are using the system and the corrupt that it is to garner the votes, to keep themselves in power, because at the end of the day, that's all they have, really. And we're seeing that as really the common denominator that brings so many empires and so many democracies down. It is that corruption. It just gets in there, and it's like a bad disease. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. Yeah, the human race, you can't really count on people to be honest and honorable, can you know? And that's where I've got to plead to you all. This is a job for just, I'll tell you who can fix this. President Trump can't fix this. The Trump administration can't fix this. The political leaders can't fix it. And the business leaders can't fix it. The people who need to fix this is we the people. Well, that's the only one that can change this whole narrative here. And I keep saying to you, we've got to raise our voices louder. We've got to get loud. We've got to get involved and get loud in the process here if we're going to have a shot at this. Well, listen, I am really loving this conversation with Aja Smith and really jumping into California. And you can see a lot of the problems and how they resonate throughout the nation and where we're at here. We'll take a quick pause. We'll be back with Aja Smith and talk a bit more about all of this in just a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
You speak the soul truth, and it's not that we're lost, it's just that we need help. We need serious help here.
You're hearing the words right there, friends, of Aja Smith, and I turned that on just now so you could hear her, because her passion is very clear in your authenticity. It's a pleasure, Aja Smith, to be with you and to have your voice. And you speak so well about the issues. I'm very convinced after listening and talking to you today, you really get me excited, because if the quality of candidates that are running are anywhere near you, the chances of them connecting with real people, I think, is really good. And we need more of that in the conservative movement. So I applaud you and applaud what you're
Thank
doing
you.
Here. Absolutely. So the issues are profound. I love the way you talk about, because those who are informed in California understand that election and voter integrity is most important. And like everything, it's the same as the age-old race of the tortoise and the hare, is it, I guess, Aja, right?
Yeah, I mean, the tortoise and the hare.
You've got to have some fair rules in play, I mean, at some point to be able to, you know, sometimes you can pull out a a victory, as the tortoise did. But we've got to have fair rules in place so we can play this race out the way it needs to be here. Election integrity is so vitally important. Now, they're using a lot of trickery out there in California. And again, the ballot harvesting, you're saying this mail-in voting, anybody can vote no matter what. And now you see the illegal immigrations they want. And now there's the reason why the politicians want the borders open and they want everything going on. And so what I'm wondering is this, like real families out there, Asha, and regular people like us who really care passionately about our nation, about our state, and all of these things we're talking about here, how is it that these people don't see what we're talking about? Or I'm wondering how many people are seeing this and where that trajectory is. At one point, I keep saying to myself, do Californians get it? At what point do they say, uncle? At what point do they say, I've had enough of these socialist Democrat policies? And at what point does that, how close are we to that spark, that friction point, please?
You know, I have to go back and say it's the complacency. It is the people who given up and they move out of state. And I say, what is the use of moving out of state? Well, it's growing. Look at Colorado, for an example. It was a solid red state for so long, and they defeated and flipped it blue. Texas is on a shoestring where Ted Cruz barely won his election. And I love my Texans. I love Texas. But guess what? This is spreading as like a disease of this ideology across the nation. If we don't, as Americans, as patriots, as constitutionalists, don't really start fighting and standing up to what's going on in the local government first, these types of people like Mark Takano, who I'm running against, and other representatives, they start at the local level. If you don't get involved in your local level, and not just your city council, but also the school board, who you're voting for your county supervisor, however your local is set up in terms, these same people go to the state level and to the federal level. What we need to do as a party, yes, I'm running for a federal level.
Right.
I know people are running for state level, but if we don't start teaching bottom up instead of top down, we always hear vote top down. No, we need to start bottom up ballot because we have an issue that's going on in one of my cities in my district in Riverside, which was a good solid red on city council. Now we have one Republican left on the city council, and they're trying to get rid of him by calling him a racist because they love using calling people racist. That is their ammunition.
And they use that on every level race, you're saying. That, I love what you just pointed out.
Oh,
because
yeah.
They're even using it in the local races to get the state representatives and the community commissioners and all of those out of there. Boy, that racist word is such an evil word, isn't it?
It's an evil word. I've been called a racist, and I look at people like, okay, I'm a minority. Who am I racist towards? So, and I'm a female, and I'm called every other name in the book, but I'm a female, and I'm a veteran. So you're saying all this to me because you have nothing to argue or counter my argument when I call out your failed policies.
See, that's what people really understand, what you just said. Listeners know, Asha, that what you're talking about right now is really the hot button of all of this. That's what they do, the socialist Democrats do. It's the only go-to policy they have is that you're a racist, xenophobe, bigot, you cruel person.
Correct.
Because you care for the sanctity of life or humankind or a better quality of life for all. Somehow that makes you evil. It is pretty sick how they change and flip the entire conversation on its ass, basically with just nothing but lies and deceit. It really does. You know, at some point, it almost isn't even fear anymore when we have this conversation. I ask myself, when do people wake up and really understand the truth in all this? I mean, and we're seeing this everywhere. We're seeing it, as you say, in the races from top to bottom. A lot of these local races and local cities, local states, the municipalities, a lot of these places, they do vote for the Socialist Democrats. They have a vast majority in these small communities everywhere. And sadly, Aja, I'll tell you, I could just cry over, you heard me talk in the monologue up front about our American cities. I really am so saddened by what's going on in our cities in America, because I know what's happening. We are selling our nation out, and we'll never be great again if we don't get our cities in line and in control. We cannot have a great nation without great cities. You understand?
Well, you know, and I go back and I tell people, and a lot of people who are older than me are shocked when I say this. You go back to what former House Speaker Tip O'Neill used to say, all politics is local, correct?
That's it.
And so the government closest to you is the government that controls you. And that's your local government. If we don't start getting involved with the local government by putting people in the right positions to have at least a balance, or to say we're not going to have a majority of this ideology that's turning in our local cities into socialist communes and communist communes, we won't be a great again. When a president says, let's make America great again, a lot of people, and I hate to say this, a lot, I call them newbies who are new to politics, who are new to the Republican Party. A lot of them don't know the history of the Republican Party, and I've been helping educate quite a few, and they didn't even know half the things that I tell them and give them books and literature. And so I tell them, if we can elect the president, but if he doesn't have a House and a Senate and good governors and local, we are going to lose the president from day one, because they will impeach him and remove him from the office. Yeah. So, yes, flipping the House and keeping the Senate, but at the same time, all the policies that come from Washington, D.C., if you live in a state or a city or a district like mine, we won't reap those benefits, because the socialists will block every single thing that comes out of Washington, D.C. when it comes to federal funding, mm-hmm. when it comes to economic opportunities, opportunity zones, lower taxes for corporations. They will block it. Where other states, let's say Tennessee and you know some fairly good red states, they will flourish because they have good leadership at all levels of government. So we can elect the president all day long for the next 100 years, mm-hmm. but if we're not electing the people that are going to grab those opportunities and to lobby for the great policies and the federal money to make your local city, we're not going to be great again. And that's where the Republican Party is going to have to really start educating at the ground game, the ground zero, at the central committees, and also getting out into the neighborhoods and say, how can we be great if we're not even electing proper city council people and school board people to get those opportunities that the president really wants to push?
I really like what you say there, Aja. I would love the president to hear you. And you give such hope back to people to understand and listen to. And another thing I'm really proud already of you is that you use the word socialist there instead of progressive, I noticed when you spoke a moment ago.
So now that I'm very comfortable with you, now I know how you feel. We both think the same way.
Well, okay. We do, but let's make sure you do that with the people out there, please, so you can educate them that there's nothing progressive about these people. We want to remove that word. We're not going to allow them, because they're really good at using the words, the vocabulary against the movement here, you see, and you know that already.
Oh, yes, they are.
You've already highlighted
they
that
are.
Really well. Yeah.
I've seen it for 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what's taking place here without a doubt. All right, so let's get into a couple of things. Now, first of all, I want people to help. Please, let's help Aja Smith here in many ways. You all out there talk about a red wave or a red tide or a red something. Let's make sure it's not a red ripple. We don't want a red ripple, because a ripple is not going to do it, Aja. You know that, you know.
No.
And a lot of people talk about the red wave or the red tidal wave or the red whatever. You know, okay, gotcha. But it's got to start here with what Aja says in running for Congress, as she's doing. You hear how well spoken she is and where her heart is. There's nothing she's not. Let's just listen to this young woman, Mia. She hasn't stepped out anywhere. I mean, she's on fire, and she has hit every point of interest and every point of the conservative movement, and every point as an American more so, of what it means in this nation. And she deserves our support. And she deserves for us to get behind her so she can win that seat and we can begin to make the strides here of what is needed to take this back. Now, first of all, your website, let's give that out a couple of times. What is it right now again, please?
My website is Aja, A-J-A, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, 4-F-O-R-Congress.com.
F-O-R, you spell, okay, Aja Smith 4Congress.com, spell out 4, right? F-O-R.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Okay. Aja Smith 4Congress.com, and I was just on the site today and yesterday, actually, looking at where you were at in your positions, and I noticed you really highlighted national defense, you highlighted our veterans, and tax reform and economy. And tax reform and economy has got to be a big issue for Californians, because this is where their quality of life is being decimated by the moment, by the hour, with their current policies and politics of what's happening there. And this is where it really impacts people's lives, which you were just talking a moment ago about local policies. That's a big issue in the race there with against this opponent, isn't it?
Well, exactly. We and I tell people this old saying, as California goes, the rest of the nation follows. We had an assembly bill called AB5, which pretty much targets independent contractors. It started with the Ubers and the Lyfts, and a lot of those people are college students, where they're trying to make them to pretty much get away from independent contractors and the freelance writers, the babysitters, and it had a big ripple effect here in California, where a lot of groups and even Democrats were saying, wait a minute, so you're telling me I can't be an independent contractor unless I become a LLC or corporation, and you're going to force me into a union. What people don't understand is that these policies that come in my state at the state level, a lot of times they go to the federal level, in which now it turned into a federal legislation, H.R. 2474, which is the Right to Work Act. They make it sound like, oh, yes, it's the right to work. Don't quote me on the exact title of it, but it's H.R. 2474. And the incumbent who I'm running against, he signed off. He co-sponsored. He is promoting this. So when I tell people you need to pay attention to California policies, because a lot of times those policies go to the federal and the House level, and it affects the whole entire nation. So that's why I tell people it's very important to see what we're putting in our state government policies, just like the straw. You know, they ban plastic straws. So that kind of had a ripple effect across the country, plastic bags, you know, moving from paper to plastic and different things like that. So you have to really pay attention what comes out of Sacramento, because it will come to not only a state near you, but it will also go into Washington, D.C. And I know a lot of people say it will never come to me. It will never come to me. Well, I never knew that 9/11 would happen, but it happened. And I use that because we're so ingrained that it's not coming to a city or a state near me, but it is. And they are very strongly, if it's not coming to a state near you, they're going to make it a federal law.
Yeah. Well, and let's be clear. Ignorance is not a winning strategy.
No.
No. So it doesn't win. I mean, pleading ignorant to anything is not going to win you anything. And you speak so well about that. We have to get involved. My mantra here, Aja, is get involved, get loud. And what I mean by that is, you can't be on the sidelines and expect to make a difference or to change, you know, right, the problems. I mean, you have to be involved in the game of life. And it really is the game of life, and certainly the game
and
of politics.
It's time consuming. It is time consuming, but this is your life. Exactly. I got involved in my local level literally 20 years ago, and it was time consuming, but it's where we live. We have to go and get involved. If you don't speak your voice, whether you're just that one small voice, you can grow into 100 voices to 1,000 voices, where people say, hey, Aja went up to the city council meeting. I'll go up there too and support her, and I will say something. You'd be amazed how many people will say, I believe in the same thing, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing you need help in? How is the ground game coming? How is the grassroots coming? How does this happen for you?
Well, the past 4 months, we raised $100,000 and we're trying to do the 300,000 mark by August. We are going to have a strong ground game. That is the only way to win in California is ground game, boots on the ground. If we don't have boots on the ground, we're going to completely lose our entire state, which is going to be the entire country, because we hold the most House seats in Washington, D.C., and a lot of people don't realize that. Every seat is flippable. Don't see D plus 12. Keep in mind what I said in the beginning, the motor voter. I'm actually a purple district where I have a good number of no party preference and moderate Democrats who are sick and tired of it too. So my outreach is going to be talking to them. But I also need every Republican to get out and vote. Stop being complacent. This is getting too much. How can I say it? It's getting to a point where you're going to have to vote good versus evil. You're going to have to say, am I going to vote for the same guy or not vote? Or am I just going to vote for her so she can, what I'm hearing, she is a strong constitutionalist and she wants to save our republic and bring back later on, hopefully, I get elected and I could do some years, and to bring back what our Constitution was founded with, the separation of government. Mm-hmm. And that could be a whole nother conversation as well. Yeah. But and to really donate, if you live out of state, you can donate. And hey, if you live out of state, you can even phone bank for me, because of course you can't do door to door knocking. But if you live in my district and if you really want to help with door to door knocking, you can go to my website, send me an email, your address and your phone number. And we also have conference calls for my campaign twice a week, and you can be involved in what you can do. And that's what we're going to be really pushing, is to raise the dollar mark so we can have a good, strong ground game. And then also get a good army of volunteers. But I think of it as Gideon's army. He had an army of 300, and he won the battle. I don't need 1,000 people, but I need a good, dedicated people to go door to door who are not afraid to talk to moderate Democrats and even independents and libertarians, because we do have that representation here, and say, hey, Aja is a better candidate because of X, Y, and Z versus Mark Takano.
And the website, Aja Smith, AJA, Aja Smith for Congress.com, FOR people, Aja Smith for Congress.com. Is the website there to help out. You know, there's multiple takeaways here with what Aja says there. And as she just represents, you know, she just hit the mark for me, people. You know, my ears went up big time when she talked about the fight versus of good versus evil. That is the mantra of this show. It's what we stand for. It's why we do what we do here, Aja. It is the fight of good versus evil. And it's why the Voice of a Nation and America Out Loud exist. It's a fight that we fight every day here, every hour of the day here. It is actually what's happening here to our nation and our world. There's no way you have a great America if we don't have great cities and states. A great American cities are a must. We have to have our cities and towns. It just has to be that way. All politics are local, people. A big thank you here to Aja Smith. Please get involved. Let's help this woman out. Aja Smith for Congress.com. FOR for. And Aja AJA Smith, I am wishing her the best always in representing California District 41 and to be a future congresswoman and representative of We the People. It's a beautiful day in America, friends. And thank you again for being with me and being part of here on the mission. Friends, it's time to get involved and get loud.